flags, crosses, and pillows.
Phil's Osophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?
It is time for a Too Wretched for Radio. Phil, ooh. If you've been needing some angry emails, don't you worry. You're going to get them. Are you ready to listen to a presentation that was given at the FabCon, AmeriCon? What's a Comic-Con? What is that big convention that happens? It happened a few weeks ago where everybody gets together. The conservative conference that happens. What's that called?
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, Comic-Con. I'm kidding.
What is it called anyway?
I forget what it's called, but I know what you're talking about.
NeoCon-Con. I think it's Con-Con. James Con?
Yeah, something like that.
Con-Man. I don't know. Whatever it's called, it's where everybody gets together and speaks, and we all get excited about politics. Mike Lindell, the My Pillow OPAC. I think that's it. Yeah. CPAC. Maybe I should read the notes. Don't worry, you're in good hands. We are professionals. CPAC is the name of the conference. Mike Lindell. He is a professing believer. Have no doubt that he is. He's also the MyPillow founder, and he's also from Minnesota. So he went to speak at CPAC, and he mingled pillows, God, and the cross. So, Phil, I would like for you to hear some clips. Now, we shared these a number of weeks ago, but I thought, we really should get Phil's take on this because I think we need to remember that there is a line, a mixing and mingling of patriotism and Christianity we need to watch out for. So, Phil, here is a very brief starter of Mike Lindell, Mr. MyPillow at CPAC Con.
I wrote this at 3 in the morning. I believe God gave me the words.
All right, there you have it. That's a start right there.
Yep.
That's it. Phil, we pay you big bucks for this. I expect a lot more than yep.
You know, that's where I usually tune out. When somebody says, God gave me the words, I don't know if he is purposely, consciously, deliberately claiming that this is verbally inspired material he's about to give us. But
I doubt it.
Almost he persuadest me to change pillows.
Do you have one of his pillows?
No, actually, I don't.
They're not cheap, those pillows.
Really?
Well, I saw them at the Bed Bath & Beyond, walking through the deal, Target, wherever it was. And it was like, how much? Wow. That's an expensive pillow right there.
Yeah.
All right.
I sleep on feather pillows, so all the other, artificial stuff never works for me.
Oh, but you got to try the one that's got the wave in it where it's like one side is rounded a little higher than the other side. Oh.
Yeah. I've got one of those. I don't like it.
Huh.
It's too bouncy. It pushes my head back up. I wake up with a stiff neck. Mm-hmm. I like a pillow I can plunge my head into, and it saves the shape that my head made.
Yeah, but if it doesn't, like, as well as you're describing, it covers your mouth and you can't breathe. The foam one keeps you from snoring, Phil, and I know that Darlene would appreciate that. So start going synthetic, if you will, man. All right, here's my turnoff to a speech. This is my personal issue when somebody, especially a pastor, gets up and says, the dictionary says, or Merriam-Webster defines the term sin as, and I just go, I'm out. You're using an English dictionary to define a Greek word. Gotta go. This is Mike Lindell. Again, see what your thoughts are about this CPAC presentation.
I woke up from years of addiction, and I was oblivious as to what was going on in our country. What I saw before me were friends unemployed, terrible political correctness, people saying happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas, and people trying to take God out of everything and not even acknowledging Jesus Christ. I saw myself thinking back in time to my childhood when seeds of patriotism were planted in our schools, like when we pledged allegiance to the flag and recited that we were one nation under God.
All right. There's the whole shebang right there. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, and now, to be clear, he's not a pastor, right?
Correct. He's a pillow maker.
He should stick to pillow making. And
well, what's wrong? Well, okay, so have you heard anything wrong?
Yeah, a lot. It's that he's blending a whole lot of social and political issues with the gospel, and he seems to confuse faithfulness to God with patriotism for your country. You know, those things sometimes go hand in hand in the sense that somebody who's faithful to his God might also be, you know, faithful to the nation he was born. But don't equate those two things. They're not of equal importance. And patriotism for America in particular, if that were a mark of spiritual maturity, we would leave, you know, 80% or more of the world, of the world's Christians, totally out. You know, if you were a believer in China, for example, what would your duty be with regard to patriotism to your country? And it's a communist country where atheism is the official dogma. Would you be obliged to be patriotic there? Or does he think that Chinese Christians have some duty to revere America? To blend American patriotism with Christianity like that is to confuse categories in a way that actually clouds the gospel, because my attitude towards the politics of our nation really has, in most cases, very little to do with my faith.
Well, I think this is one of the prime examples that people who do not believe in Jesus Christ would use to say, you evangelicals, you're in cahoots with Donald Trump. You're just about politics. This, to me, just gives them nothing but fodder for that.
That's right. It's a perpetuation of the caricature that I think the secular news media and most of the unbelieving world has of American evangelicals. And it's actually tainted the understanding of the word evangelical. It made it so that those of us who are historically evangelical, biblically evangelical, can't even use the term evangelical anymore because it makes people think that we're all about a political position rather than a set of theological convictions. Evangelicalism, historically, that comes out of the word even comes out of the Protestant Reformation, and it stems from the same word as gospel, evangel. Evangelical means people who are committed to the gospel, and historically, you were an evangelical if you believed in the two fundamental principles of Reformation truth, sola fide and sola scriptura. Sola fide was the material principle of the Protestant Reformation. Sola scriptura is the formal principle of the Protestant Reformation. And if your confession of faith upheld those two principles, then you were a historically evangelical. The problem is now, today, most people who classify themselves as part of the evangelical movement in America don't really even have any clue as to those two principles. I mean, we talked in another episode of Too Wretched, we were talking about Ed Young Jr., who I don't think would have a clue how to define or describe the principle of sola fide in historical and theological and biblical terms. He never preaches it. I don't have any reason to think that he confesses it. And yet, he's sort of the epitome of what people think of as evangelical, or some people.
Well,
sort of a show business religion that's all about conservative politics and patriotism and a lot of secular ideas that really have nothing to do with biblical truth.
And Phil, honestly, before the most toxic president, in my opinion, in the history of America was elected, and evangelicals were just deemed his number one supporters, even before that, because I think the toxicity of Donald Trump, and I'm not making any critique on Donald Trump, I'm just saying the man is just, he polarizes. And when you bring him up inside of any sort of Christian dialogue, you repel people lickety-split. We should have been careful about how we engage and speak about politics as believers, simply because we don't want that to be a stumbling block to the gospel. So whether it's Donald Trump or not, these conflating of the lines, recognizing that we are God's expatriates, we are not citizens of this world. Yeah, we've got ourselves a social security number. We do submit to Caesar, but we are citizens of a different kingdom, and his kingdom is not of this earth. We just have to be careful how we talk about politics, might I say, especially today.
I now bring you back in time to the summer of 2015. I see Donald Trump coming down an escalator and announcing he's running for president. For me, it was a divine and miraculous moment. I felt that something miraculous was about to unfold.
Yeah, I mean, that's simply distasteful because he's blended his politics with his religion to the point where, in his mind, these are inseparable things, so that Donald Trump is a messianic figure, miraculous, that he's running for president. And you know, anybody who followed my Facebook page knows that I was not a supporter of Donald Trump. I haven't been a critic of him as a president because, you know, when a man's a candidate, it's one thing. When he is when he's the president, I think you owe him a different level of respect. So I haven't been a critic of his, and I'm not here to criticize him right now. But as evangelicals, we need to be consistent with what we say about morality is important. When it was a different candidate, when it was a Democratic president who was accused of adultery in the White House, evangelicals were of one voice saying, look, morality counts. What a man says and does in his private life can either qualify him or disqualify him from that level of leadership. And a man who is an open adulterer and unashamed of it doesn't really have the moral qualifications to be the leader of a nation. We said that when it was a Democrat who was philandering. But then turn around and a large segment of evangelicals were ardently pro-Trump despite his morality. Now, I think there were good reasons to vote, at least against the Democratic presidential candidate, because the Democratic platform has abortion as one of its, you know, planks. So I do think that evangelicals have a moral duty to oppose that kind of moral decline in our country. But that doesn't mean you have to champion the candidate you're voting for as if he's some kind of messianic figure, because when you do that, you end up like the talk we're talking about now, where you've confused political categories with spiritual categories in such a hopeless way that I wonder if it would be possible to extract gospel truth from this guy's speech.
Okay. Phil, did you somehow get my notes to know what the next clip is?
Donald Trump invited me to meet him at Trump Tower in New York City. I walked into his office with high hopes on August 15, 2016. I walked out of that office after meeting with him, and I knew God had chosen him for such a time as this.
I took the liberty of stopping right there. That's precisely what you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, that disturbs me, really. And I don't like to get into politics. I don't like to talk about partisan politics, but
I don't think that's the point of what we're doing at all. We're Romans 13. Mike Fabares, by the way, just preached, I don't know if it was just, but he preached a three-part series on God's expatriates, that we are not a part of this kingdom, this earthly kingdom. We are a part of a spiritual kingdom, and our king is Jesus. We've got a different set of rules. We've got a different set of values and priorities, and this is just conflating the kingdoms to render both of them rather cloudy. And I don't blame liberals for getting upset at stuff like this.
That's right. He's confused kingdoms. That's a very good way of putting it. He's confused the kingdoms. You know, there's a tincture of truth to what he's saying. Not that the president is a messianic figure chosen and called by God to this, but Paul does say in Romans 13 that the powers who be that be are appointed by God. So that he was saying that when you know, the emperor was Nero, probably the most wicked man that ever sat on the Roman throne. And he says he's been appointed by God to that. And not meaning that he's a messianic figure, but simply saying, look, you owe respect to the position, despite the fact that an immoral, ungodly, cruel, ruthless man sits on that throne. The powers that be are ordained by God. Paul is simply defending the sovereignty of God there. And in that sense, yeah. Donald Trump was appointed by God to be the president of the United States. Now, somebody could take that out of context and make me sound like a fanatic. But let me hasten to add that prior to Donald Trump, Obama was chosen by God to be the president of the United States. And prior to him, it was Bush. And prior to him, it was Clinton. And God had a providential plan in all of those placements. It doesn't mean that everything those men do is obviously doesn't mean that everything those men do is justified or authorized or whatever, but that God has a purpose in what he's doing. And even when an immoral, an evil, or a disqualified person sits in that office, the office is ordained by God, and the person who is in that office is providentially placed there by God. And therefore, as Christians, we have no right to, you know, roust up a rebellion or whatever. But in the same breath, you have to say, as Christians, we're not to take that and twist that biblical truth to the point where we make a man who's, by his own confession, immoral and unprincipled, and try to turn him into a messianic figure.
Okay,
let's be realistic about it.
If you could just hold on for 1 second, Phil, I've got a big business opportunity here. If you can just hold on. Joey, can you just grab that clip where Phil says Barack Obama was appointed by God? Then we'll just send that out on the internet and we'll get all of Phil's money.
I'm
if you
on
could
it.
Work on it, that'd be great. Okay, so Phil, let me share with you another presentation, a little snippet from, this is Mike Lindell, MyPillow founder at CPAC, describing or defining for us how we get America back on track.
God answered our prayers, our millions of prayers, and gave us grace. And a miracle happened on November 8, 2016. We were given a second chance and time granted to get our country back on track with our conservative values and getting people saved in Jesus' name.
Okay. Phil?
Yeah. I don't know how he conflates all of that. I don't see how what Donald Trump is doing to get people saved in Jesus' name. That's hardly the way it's going.
Well, let's just give him the benefit of the doubt and say, you know, this is a bit of an Oxford comma debate. There was a comma after getting America back on track with our conservative values, comma, and getting people saved in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
If no matter which way you slice the pie, it's not biblical. You don't get people back on track with conservative values. That's called Pharisaism. And the president and the government don't get people saved in Jesus' name. So no matter how you slice it, where does this stuff come from?
Right. Yeah, the notion that government policy can somehow advance the kingdom. When Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," I think one of the major fallacies that confuses a lot of Christians is the notion that in order to advance the kingdom of God, we somehow have to take the mechanism of secular government and use that to make it happen. The truth is, it often works the opposite way. Look at Europe over the past century, for example. Free Europe, where communism had no influence, became almost entirely atheistic, humanistic, hostile to the gospel. In Eastern Europe, in the nations that were ruled by communism after World War II, that's where the church thrived and grew. That's where the gospel actually had the most influence in nations that were oppressed. It's not to say that I welcome persecution or bad government policies or anything like that, but just to point out that the growth of the church and the advance of the gospel really has absolutely nothing to do with the political policies of the nation where the gospel is being proclaimed.
Okay. Let me just say, because somebody would be thinking, well, would you rather it be Hillary Clinton? She'd most certainly be shutting it down. You might not be having a church there in California anymore.
Well, you know, as an American citizen, no, I wouldn't rather have it be Hillary Clinton or any Democrat who promotes abortion and a lot of the other moral issues that the sexual revolution has foisted on us. No, I hate that as an American, as a citizen, and as a Christian. But as a Christian, I don't think the gospel is going to be handcuffed, even if the government outlaws it. You know, if it becomes a crime for me to preach the gospel, then I'll have a prison ministry.
Well, it sure seems to be spreading pretty well in China. All right, Phil, we are now going to do a test with our final clip from Mike Lindell of Mr. MyPillow factory in Minnesota. This last one is kind of a summary of all of the things that we've been discussing. It is 34 seconds long. You're going to have to practice some self-control. Are you up for the task, sir?
I doubt that I am, so you don't want me yelling stop for 34 seconds.
That's kind of what I was trying to say.
I see the greatest president in history. Of course he is. He was chosen by God.
All right, stop right there. Clearly, I don't have self-control. All right, he's the greatest president in history because he, apparently nobody else, was chosen by God.
Yeah, see, that's where he's just wrong and misleading. I would love to ask him privately, you know, are you saying that somehow he has been chosen and appointed by God in a way that Barack Obama or any of his predecessors were not? It just sounds like that's what he's saying. And if that's the case, then I don't think he understands Romans 13 or anything that Scripture says about civil government.
To give him the benefit of the doubt, and this isn't all that encouraging, but he just sounds like he's just breathed in a lot of the evangelical conversations that happen a lot, especially in Washington, with Christian groups that are trying to somehow influence policies and politics. He just sounds kind of like mainstream evangelical with just a bunch of sloppy language.
Yeah, although I often say that's a caricature of evangelicalism. It isn't really what we as evangelicals believe. But
no,
then
but you hear a guy like this, and them, you think, most certainly,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, sadly, it's apparently not a far-fetched caricature, and it epitomizes why I have often said I think every time the church or Christians as Christians get involved in political issues at this level, it turns out badly.
Right.
It's confusing the gospel, what he's saying. He is glorifying and uplifting a particular political candidate in a way that really we as Christians ought only to proclaim Christ and uphold him and point people to him.
All right. Now I'm going to give you one more shot at this, Phil. Please, this time, try to practice some self-control.
I see the greatest president in history. Of course he is. He was chosen by God. I see record low unemployment from African Americans to Hispanics at an all-time low. I see 5 million new jobs created since Donald Trump took office. I see wages going up. Entrepreneurs are taking risks again with consumer confidence at an all-time high. I see GDP growth approaching 4%. I see ISIS demolished and trade deals getting made and getting done. I see promises made and promises kept.
All righty then. Any concluding thoughts on the presentation from Mr. MyPillow?
No, let me just say this. He's dead wrong when he claims that this was verbally inspired by God. It isn't. It clearly isn't. It's an interesting political lecture. But there's just no spiritual content in there that ought to be the kind of thing a Christian would say.
I understand his heart, and I get the longing, you know, to have a good government, make wise policies that, you know, help people economically, that make the freedom of to communicate, voting, all of those things. I understand that longing, and we all appreciate that. But when we conflate it with the gospel, it just makes everybody loses.
In fact, it may be pushing the story to say he conflates it with the gospel. It's as if he's forgotten what the gospel is. He left it out completely. And if someone is as eager to see the gospel have the freedom to be proclaimed as I think he really is and is saying that he is, then it's really a shame that he didn't seize this opportunity to actually give the gospel.
All righty, let's see if Joey and I are going to be rich. Let's hear it, Joey.
Obama was chosen by God to be the president of the United States.
Gold mine!
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?